Winter King, Part 2. Macrina wept oft and long at night, yet her father's love sustained her in her darkest hour. Despite the grueling toils she underwent each day, Macrina Petronovich grew up to be very beautiful, with her mother's fair skin and abundant yellow hair. When Anya and Lidochka were out of earshot, her father often called her his northern princess. The more beautiful grew Macrina, the uglier seemed her stepsister, who was squat and stooped with a pocked face and flaccid, muddy hair. Anya was endlessly buying her daughter beautiful raiment, the best she could get with the money that Macrina and her father brought in, and combing and coiffing Lidochka's hair. The costly garb only served to accentuate Lidochka's indecorous appearance, however. One day, when Anya was in one of her not-infrequent tempers, she commanded Macrina to fetch a knife for her. Macrina, who could do little but follow her father's meek example, did as Anya asked and presented to her the one and only knife they owned. With a swift and savage motion, Anya chopped off Macrina's long flaxen braids. The result was terrible to behold, and Macrina cringed to think of her short, unevenly hacked off hair. "There!" Anya smiled coldly with satisfaction. "Now I think you will not be so vain, little minx." Indeed, poor Macrina went about the village with a shawl or a kerchief on her head for many a subsequent day. Still, her cherry cheeks and blue-gray eyes were so engaging that most folk did not need to see her hair to think her beautiful. The attention she was paid only enraged Anya further, and Lidochka made every effort to cause trouble for Macrina. She would spill a pitcher of rare milk and blame it on the other girl, or trip her up and send her into a pile of horse dung. Whenever Lidochka's hand wrought some havoc in her mother's presence, she was cosseted and consoled as if she were ill or injured. One blustery winter's morning, which was so cold that the fire would hardly start, and the pitcher of water was frozen solid, Macrina went out to do her usual work in the carpentry shop. Tatiana, the carpenter's wife, who had become a good friend, made her a present of a warm red shawl that she had knitted herself. Macrina wore it proudly, and its warmth did her heart as much good as it did her body. She was so happy that she imprudently wore it home, and when Lidochka's eye fell on it, she immediately set up a plaintive wail of protest. Exclaiming and scolding all the while, Anya snatched it away from Macrina's head and placed it gently around her own daughter's shoulders. Macrina knew it was no use to ask for it back. Anya would never accede to her wishes. That day there was no food for Macrina, nor any blanket at night. She was shoved as far away from the fire as she could go in the small hut. When her father came home from a long day of extensive labors at the forge, Anya immediately set up such a harsh objurgation that the hut reverberated with her shrill voice. She bitterly condemned Macrina and her vain, troublesome ways, and said that, were she ever to have any peace in this house, Macrina should be sent away immediately. Kondrashka tried to object on Macrina's behalf, but Anya kept on chiding and paid him no mind. In the morning, Macrina was to be sent out to make her own fortune, and anyone who might take her in would never receive custom from Anya Petronovich again. The night passed all too quickly, and the next day was even colder than the last. At first light, Anya woke Macrina and demanded that she dress and leave the hut as quickly as possible. Pleas, protestations, and tears moved Anya not at all. And in her one very worn and very patched smock, and with a bit of stale bread tied up in the thinnest, most ragged of kerchiefs, Macrina was driven out the door and into the coldest winter morning that she had ever known. It was Midwinter's Day and Macrina's birthday. The snow lay thick and heavy upon the frozen ground. The wind was far more icy and biting than the sharpest of tongues, and Macrina's thin smock was no barrier to the freezing air. She'd been told to make her way as far from the hut as she possibly could. And so, though her bare feet were wrapped only in rags, she walked as fast as she could both to keep warm and to obey Anya's orders, lest worse should befall her under the stringent influence of her stepmother. Little heeding whither she went, she found that her feet were carrying her into a large, dark forest. Great conifers blocked out most of the little sunlight that shone weakly overhead, and the snow on the ground was piled in huge, high drifts. When Macrina looked around her and realized she was utterly lost, with no way to forge ahead except by climbing over snowbanks, she sat down on a snowy log and began to weep. Of a sudden, the wind grew even stronger and colder. The tree branches overhead whipped wildly in the gale, and blew great gusts of snow down upon Macrina. The air seemed to crackle with the cold, and the wind increased its fury with every passing second. Macrina's lips began to turn blue, and her fingers and toes went numb. As she sat there, shivering uncontrollably and weeping tears of ice, she suddenly heard a great, low voice, as loud as 1,000 trumpets, boom out, "Maiden, art thou warm?" Not knowing what to make of these strange happenings, yet knowing that anything less than meekness might attract very unwelcome attention, she stammered through her frozen lips, "Yes," and as an afterthought, "Sir?" At these words, the wind grew even more furious, lashing her smock to tatters and nearly whipping her hair from her head. The snow fell in great heaps, and the wind and the tree limbs crackled and snapped like frosty fingers. Those fingers clutched at her hair, her face, her body, seeming to freeze her very heart. The great voice cried out once again, "Art thou still warm, maiden?" Macrina, who could barely get the words to pass her lips, yet still not wishing to incur the wrath of his strange voice, answered softly that she was. If the wind could have increased its fury even more, it certainly did so. Great drifts of snow surrounded Macrina where she sat, and she was sure that she would die here, alone in the forest. Frosty tree branches whipped past her face, and the wind slashed at her stiff body, as if it were a knife that could pierce right through her. "Art thou still warm?" the great voice cried out through the roar of the wind. Macrina, who could now hardly speak, could only draw breath to utter one word, "Yes." Well, folks, if you want to know what happens, you'll have to listen to part 3, which hopefully will be the last one.